Day 54, Thursday, December 22nd. Job 6 and 7. Job 6 1 to 30 NKJV. Then Job answered and said, "Oh, that my grief were fully weighed, and my calamity laid with it on the scales, for then it would be heavier than the sand of the sea. Therefore my words have been rash, for the arrows of the Almighty are within me, my spirit drinks in their poison, the terrors of God are arrayed against me. Does the wild donkey bray when it has grass, or does the ox low over its fodder? Can flavorless food be eaten without salt, or is there any taste in the white of an egg? My soul refuses to touch them, they are as loathsome food to me. Oh, that I might have my request, that God would grant me the thing that I long for, that it would please God to crush me, that he would loose his hand and cut me off. Then I would still have comfort, though in anguish I would exult, he will not spare, for I have not concealed the words of the Holy One. What strength do I have, that I should hope, and what is my end, that I should prolong my life? Is my strength the strength of stones, or is my flesh bronze? Is my help not within me, and is success driven from me? To him who is afflicted, kindness should be shown by his friend, even though he forsakes the fear of the Almighty. My brothers have dealt deceitfully like a brook, like the streams of the brooks that pass away, which are dark because of the ice, and into which the snow vanishes. When it is warm, they cease to flow. When it is hot, they vanish from their place. The paths of their way turn aside, they go nowhere and perish. The caravans of Tema look, the travelers of Sheba hope for them. They are disappointed, because they were confident, they come there and are confused. For now you are nothing, you see terror and are afraid. Did I ever say, bring something to me, or offer a bribe for me from your wealth, or deliver me from the enemy's hand, or redeem me from the hand of oppressors? Teach me, and I will hold my tongue, cause me to understand wherein I have erred. How forceful are right words, but what does your arguing prove? Do you intend to rebuke my words, and the speeches of a desperate one, which are as wind? Yes, you overwhelm the fatherless, and you undermine your friend. Now therefore, be pleased to look at me, for I would never lie to your face. Yield now, let there be no injustice. Yes, concede, my righteousness still stands. Is there injustice on my tongue? Cannot my taste discern the unsavory? Job 7:1 to 21 NKJV. Is there not a time of hard service for man on earth? Are not his days also like the days of a hired man? Like a servant who earnestly desires the shade, and like a hired man who eagerly looks for his wages, so I have been allotted months of futility, and wearisome nights have been appointed to me. When I lie down, I say, when shall I arise, and the night be ended? For I have had my fill of tossing till dawn. My flesh is caked with worms and dust, my skin is cracked and breaks out afresh. My days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle, and are spent without hope. Oh, remember that my life is a breath. My eye will never again see good. The eye of him who sees me will see me no more. While your eyes are upon me, I shall no longer be. As the cloud disappears and vanishes away, so he who goes down to the grave does not come up. He shall never return to his house, nor shall his place know him any more. Therefore I will not restrain my mouth, I will speak in the anguish of my spirit, I will complain in the bitterness of my soul. Am I a sea, or a sea serpent, that you set a guard over me? When I say, my bed will comfort me, my couch will ease my complaint, then you scare me with dreams and terrify me with visions, so that my soul chooses strangling and death rather than my body. I loathe my life, I would not live forever. Let me alone, for my days are but a breath. What is man, that you should exalt him, that you should set your heart on him, that you should visit him every morning, and test him every moment? How long will you not look away from me, and let me alone till I swallow my saliva? Have I sinned? What have I done to you, O watcher of men? Why have you set me as your target, so that I am a burden to myself? Why then do you not pardon my transgression, and take away my iniquity? For now I will lie down in the dust, and you will seek me diligently, but I will no longer be. Daily deep dive. Job allows Eliphaz to make his statements and hears him out. He fully listens before responding. Verse 2, have you ever hoped that some trial you were going through could be officially measured? Maybe the pain you experienced due to a bad back or joint, maybe how awful you feel due to disease, or maybe like Job, you wish that your grief could be officially measured so that people could understand in some measurable way what you are dealing with and treat you with understanding. The UCG reading plan comments on many of the chapter's verses by saying, Job begins his response with an admission that, due to his severe circumstances, his words have been rash, Job 6:3. It seems that his point here is to inform his friends that they should not pick over everything he says, as much of it is just anguish and venting. Eliphaz, we may recall, had told Job to turn to God, Job 5:8, yet Job had no doubt spent much time in prayer. By this point, however, Job has come to regard his situation as one of being pierced through with poison arrows from God. Thus, relief did not seem to immediately lie in that direction, Job 6:4. Instead, he saw a need for relief and comfort from his friends. In verse 5, Job pointed out that donkeys and oxen cried out when they were hungry. He was, by analogy, saying that he himself was crying out because he was in need of nourishment. The nourishment in his case being the relief and comfort he sought. Yet the tasteless food that Eliphaz had thus far provided turned Job's stomach. Verses 6 to 7. In verses 8 to 9, Job again wishes for God to bring him the sure relief of death. Verse 10, in which the translation is disputed, seems to be saying that if he died right now, Job would still find comfort beyond death because he did not live apart from God's words in his life. The implicit concern, though, is that if his present circumstances continue, he may indeed reject God and lose his future reward. For how, he wonders, can he go on? Verses 11 to 13. In verse 14, Job says that a suffering person's friend should treat him kindly even when that friend turns from God. That is, while it might look like there is a pressing need to save a suffering sinner by preaching to him and warning him, the more immediate need is actually for compassion. This does not mean there is no place for spiritual advice, but it must come with proper tact and timing, and wisdom. And verse 14, I want to interject another possible translation of verse 14 that is backed up by multiple commentaries, Adam Clark's and Jill's, NLT, Job 6:14. One should be kind to a fainting friend, but you accuse me without any fear of the Almighty. Back to the UCG reading plan, Job likens his companions to desert wadis that look promising as sources of water from afar but evoke great disappointment when they are found dried up. Verses 15 to 21. He had not asked them for some great thing like a ransom or military help to rescue him. Verses 22 to 23. All he was asking for was simple human kindness. The arguments he had heard thus far were not only worthless to him, but accusatory and unjust, verses 24 to 30, and not at all what he needed right now. And, verse 30, have you ever felt that by your proven character, someone you consider a close friend should know better than to either believe something about you, or think so little of you? Job was a man of great character and his friends should have given him more credit than immediately assuming he has some hidden sin. Chapter 7, verse 1, Job starts by saying, is not all human life a struggle? NLT. The answer is yes, human life in this world is a struggle. Back in Genesis 3, when mankind were made to leave the garden God had prepared for them, he told them life was going to be hard now and it has been. It's not that we don't all have some good times too, but life is difficult. For us as Christians, we are reminded in Acts 14:22, we must through many tribulations, pressures/afflictions, enter the kingdom of God. The Bay Area congregations are used to me saying, we don't get to enter the kingdom of God on a cruise ship. The UCG reading plan states about the beginning of this chapter. In chapter 7, Job sinks back into lamenting his condition. He views himself like a weary laborer in drudgery and toil beneath the heat of the sun, looking for shade or the end of the workday, verses 1 to 2. Yet the end of the day, when night comes, is no relief to him at all as he struggles with the unceasing agony of his illness, which he has suffered with for months, verses 3 to 5. Verse 5, here we get a glimpse into the terrible misery that Job is going through. His body, having broken out in these terrible boils from head to toe, is now covered in scabs from the scraping and his body trying to heal. As he has been sitting on the ground, maggots slash worms have found his broken flesh. What an awful state he is in. Verse 6, a weaver's shuttle were tools, of various sorts from simple to complex, for the use of holding yarn and aiding a person in weaving clothes, blankets, etc. The UCG reading plan finishes this chapter with these words, Job perceives his days as running out fast, and in the time he has left, he wants some answers from God, verses 6 to 11. Why, he prays, are you doing this to me? What have I done to deserve this? Verses 12 to 20. Why, he asks, won't you forgive me? It looks like you are going to let me die unrepentant without showing me what I need to reap it of, so that I will be lost forever. Verse 21. As the Expositor's Bible Commentary notes regarding the dispute of chapters 3 to 27, Job repeatedly struggles over God's justice and his own vindication. This will get worse as we go along. How is it then that God will later proclaim Job right and his friends wrong? The commentary continues, a significant difference between their speeches comes from a difference in relationship with God. Job is determined to be absolutely honest with God. Job tells God everything, every tear and every doubt. They tell God nothing. They only talk about God, never to him. This should be kept in mind as we become impatient with Job. We should also keep in mind that despite all the hair-raising things Job will say, he never asks for restoration. His main concern is about his relationship with God, and that is why he puts so much stress on vindication. Without vindication, all that he is suffering is proof God is his enemy. So when Job calls God his enemy, the reader must remember these are words of poetic passion used analogically as the total context proves. Job was not penning a theological treatise in what he was saying. Rather, he was pouring out his heart in a flood of emotion, and he was pouring it out in the right direction. For if one is going to complain, Job 7:11, God is the proper complaint department, as he is the one who has the power to resolve any and all complaints. What is most remarkable about Job is that despite the fact that he sees his grief and suffering as coming from God, he is nevertheless determined to hang in there with God, hoping when there is no hope, believing beyond seeing, and,